Well, it is certainly a privilege and a pleasure to be here this morning, to be able to share with you about some of the work that's happening in Madagascar and what God has called us to in our lives. I want to start today by sharing a message about the body of Christ. So if you could all turn in your Bibles with me, we're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 22. One body with many members. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into the body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the parts of the body that seems to be the weaker are indispensable. So today, I want to share a bit about our history and our calling into missions, keeping in mind this theme about the body of Christ and the members of the body. I grew up in a Christian family in Maple Ridge, BC. I accepted Christ at a young age. However, it wasn't until my later teens that I really submitted my life to Christ. My father was a heavy-duty mechanic. I grew up working with him on many, many different kinds of equipment and machines. He used to work for the Department of Corrections, and he would have every other Friday off. So we always had some kind of a machine or an excavator or a skidder or bobcat or something in our garage that him and I would be working on every other Friday. And being homeschooled, I got every other Friday off to work with my dad in the garage. So there is some advantages to being homeschooled. I guess it was my shop class as I was growing up, so still kind of counted towards schooling. I knew that I wanted to go into mechanics. Since I had a love for aviation as well, and I knew that heavy equipment is big and heavy and greasy, I loved the more precision side of aviation. So aviation mechanics, to me, seemed like a logical choice for my direction, my calling to go into. I like the detail and the precision that goes into the aircraft mechanics when you compare it to the heavy duty. Krina grew up here in Nanaimo, used to attend Nanaimo Alliance Church. I met Krina when she came over to the mainland to house sit for a family at our church. This family was on their way to Zambia to do a short-term mission trip for a few months. So she came over to house sit, and I met her at our church. For us, things went very quickly. We started dating each other while I was attending BCIT to learn aircraft mechanics, and after 11 months of me knowing Karina, we got married. It was very quick. I was 15 years ago this year, on June 19th, so we got married here in Nanaimo. It was an extremely hot day. I think anyone who came to our wedding probably remembers how the tables spread all around the sanctuary. The butter in the dishes all melted into pools. So, being that we were both raised in Christian homes and that we both loved God and wanted to please Him, we both wanted to please God with our lives. Although missions was never on our minds when we first set out, we did what all couples do when they start out. We bought a house, We started having children. We started building our future. The house that Corinne and I bought was a small, old little house in Mission on the mainland. It needed a lot of work, and I probably should have started with a bulldozer instead of a hammer, but I started with a hammer, and away we went. It's all we had. It was ours, and that's what we started working towards. We kept working and working on this house. For 6 years, we worked on this house. Eventually, though, this house became our everything. It started to consume us. It started to take all of our free time. Every penny that we had went into making it better, renovating it, trying to build what the world around us tells us to do, to build our nest egg, to build our future, to build our kingdom. However, God was pushing us. God was prodding us throughout this. He kept telling us, I have something different for you. We didn't know what it was. The consumption of our house eventually led to discontentment as we looked at the future and started asking God, is this it? What does the future hold for us? What do you have for us to do, God? Then Karina asked me one day a question. She asked, where do you see yourself in 10 years? This is a difficult question, but it's a very important question, and we should be looking to the future to see where we see ourselves. The passage that we just read kept coming to my mind during this period. How am I involved? How do I fit into this body? Where does God want us to be? What did God have in store for us? What did He want us to do? I'm not a pastor. I'm not gifted with being able to speak and to share a message, but I can share from my heart. I'm not a visionary gifted with seeing a mission that doesn't exist, seeing a need and knowing how to fill it, to be able to create it from nothing and to bring it up to see what God has for that. But I do have hands and I do have feet and I do have skills that God gave me with these hands. So how can I use these hands to further God's kingdom here on this earth? That's how Corinne and I came to join MAF. Shortly after Karina asked me this question, we stumbled across the MAF website. We were actually thinking about immigrating to Australia, if you can believe it, and we figured that if we're going to move to Australia, I better have a job. So I was looking for work in Australia on the internet when we came across the MAF website, and on the very front page, it had engineers desperately needed. So we thought to ourselves, This was the start of our journey into MAF. This was the start of God calling us into missions, to full-time missions. This was the start of us having to submit our desires and how we saw our future to God, to obey His calling to go overseas to Africa, to Madagascar, of all places. But who are we, and what is MAF? Try this. There. So, Corinne and I, we are missionaries with Mission Aviation Fellowship, or MAF for short, as it's known. We live in Madagascar. Madagascar is an island off of the east coast of Africa. It's right across from Mozambique. It's a very large island. It is the fourth largest island in the world. This is a picture of it. It's kind of hard to see, but it's overlaid over top of British Columbia. So you can see the island goes from the very top of British Columbia all the way down to the bottom of Washington, if you were to see the size of it. It's 560 kilometers wide and 1,600 kilometers tall. We live in the capital city of Antananarivo. Antananarivo is the name, Malagasy-like long words. So if you ever look at the map and you go look at Madagascar, you'll see they have really long names. This is an ideal location for MAF to be based. It's in the center of the island, so we can reach the whole island from this location. As well as being in the capital city, It has access to resources and things that our partners need, the ones who are working on the front lines. So they can call us up, and we can go shopping for them and get them the materials and the supplies they may need, and then bring it out to them on the next flight without them having to come back. Antananarivo is 88 square kilometers. It's roughly the size of Nanaimo, but it has 1.5 million people that live in it. This means there's about 17,000 people every square kilometer in this city. It's very populated. You guys are nodding. I know that. So MAF's mission is to share God's love through aviation and technology. And our vision is to see isolated people physically and spiritually transformed in Christ's name. How many people remember the Good Samaritan story? The characters in the Good Samaritan story. Do we remember the characters? There's a Samaritan, a priest, who else? A Levite, an innkeeper, and a donkey. Okay? In the Good Samaritan story, MAF is the donkey. We're the ones that transports the people to and from. It's still an important part of the story. The story wouldn't exist without the donkey, but it's still part of it. Worldwide, MAF has 131 aircraft, and we serve in 37 different countries. In Madagascar, we have 3 aircraft. MAF was founded in 1946, following World War II, by a group of former missionary pilots who wanted to use their skills following the war, what they'd learned, for good rather than for destruction. So they thought, let's use these skills as aviators to help further God's kingdom, to bring people to the remote regions and the remote areas of the world using aviation. MAF's very first flight was on February 23rd, 1946. It was for Wycliffe Bible Translators. They were going down to Mexico to start a base there. The base is in the area of Oaxaca. Some of you may, if you see mangoes here in Canada, you'll see that sometimes the label on the mangoes is Oaxaca. Often they come from that area. And there's many, many different language groups in that whole region of Mexico. A few years after this, from the UK in 1948, Jack Hemmings and Stuart King left for Africa from the UK in an aircraft. And they didn't know it then, but as they were flying down, they were surveying Africa to see where best the aircraft could be utilized in Africa, and they eventually started the base in what is today South Sudan. This is the very first Africa MAF base. A few years after that, Nate Saint headed to Ecuador in his small little Piper J3 Cub aircraft. Many of you will probably remember this story of the 5 missionaries who were martyred on the beach in the jungles of Ecuador while they were trying to reach the Warani tribe. And we heard from Elizabeth Elliott, was it this morning? Yes, the wife of Jim Elliott, who is one of the ones who was martyred. These were the beginnings of MAF. But why the aircraft? Surely cars, motorbikes, trucks are cheaper and more economical, right? Absolutely. Cars and trucks are cheaper. Even motorbikes can get around. But when you're faced with roads that look like this, and Google Maps does not do it justice, because if you look on Google Maps, they will tell you this is Route National number 5. This is the national highway that goes from Tonosina to Mananara. So it's very, very poor, the road conditions in Madagascar, once you get out of the capital city. The capital city is not too bad. But outside of it is very, very poor. This is a common sight that we see when you're traveling around. This makes the need for the aircraft vital and necessary. Often the ranges that we fly are in the 1 to 3 hour flight range, where the same trip in a car, a 4x4 like one of these, would be the 3 to 5 days. So that tells you how needed the aircraft is. And this is often dependent on the weather and road conditions to begin with. If the weather, it's in the middle of the rainy season, they're often cut off for 3 months or so until the rains stop and the roads dry up enough to get a vehicle in there. So, imagine if you live in this community. And the closest hospital to this community is a 3-day walk away. And the only reason that this hospital actually exists is because there's a runway built there, and MAF has been able to support this hospital and keep it supplied with the resources that it needs to run, as well as supporting the community around it with medical needs. According to the United Nations, Madagascar recently dropped to the bottom of the list according to poverty line. The international poverty line is $1.90 US a day. So Madagascar has 79.6% of the population living below the international poverty line at $1.90 a day. This makes basic medical needs vitally important for the people, for the well-being of the people of Madagascar. But it's not just medical needs that MAF is there for. It's physical needs, it's spiritual needs as well as the physical needs. MAF's purpose from the very beginning has always been to the church and supporting evangelism and the sharing of God's love. MAF helps globally about 2,000 different missions organizations, as well as the local church. That same hospital I was speaking to you about is also a Baptist church. It's also a radio station, a Christian radio station, and it's also a school. And none of this would exist if MAF was not able to keep that hospital supplied with the resources that it needs in order for that mission to keep doing the work it's doing in that community and the outlying communities around. The name of this hospital is Hôpital Vovô Mafali. Mafali is good, Vovô is news, and hospital, hôpital. So it's essentially, in English, it's the Good News Hospital is the name of this hospital. So what about our family? Where do we fit into all of this picture? Well, my role is the chief engineer. I'm the one responsible to use my hands to keep the aircraft maintained and airworthy so that it can continue to do the work it's doing, flying in and around the island to keep the other missionaries supported. Part of my job is also to train. So this is Finuva. I've been working closely with Finuva for the last few years, teaching him the skills he needs to maintain aircraft, and hopefully in the next year or so, he'll actually get a license from the civil aviation there to be able to carry on after us whenever it is that God calls us to something new or something different. So I'm teaching Finuva to go from taking an airplane that looks like this, which is kind of a ball of wires and missing quite a few pieces, to looking like this. Or from this, missing some key parts like wings, an engine, a propeller, to this. All these photos, by the way, are the same aircraft, the work that we've been doing over the last year. Without maintenance, aircraft would soon stop flying. And it's not good when aircraft stop flying. They can't pull over to the side of the road like a car can. They generally causes an accident or something. It's really important to keep aircraft well maintained so that they can do the work that they're doing. But actually, my role is not that different from everyone's here. I work in a hangar, mainly. I get to help be the hands sometime and load cargo into the airplane, like medical vaccines or other things. And I get to have coffee sometimes with the people that were flying and hear and share stories and encourage them as they're living on the front lines and doing the work they're doing to keep going, keep persevering. And I might get to hear the excitement of stories from them when they've gone out to the bush preaching to thousands of people and hear how they can touch and minister to each one of these families that they're meeting out in the bush. But in a lot of ways, my job is very normal. I go to work, the airplane flies away, it comes back, I fix it, and we repeat the same thing again and again and again. However, without my family being in Madagascar, keeping the airplane maintained, being the hands and feet to the body of Christ, we would not be supporting the other missions and the frontline work and the spreading of Christ's love. And without you being here as members of the same body, working and supporting and praying for MAF and our ministry in Madagascar, none of this would happen. So, as we look back at the verse that we were reading this morning, let's look back at verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. So let my message this morning be an encouragement to you that we are all part of the body, and we all play a special role. Let's never underestimate the importance of what God has called us to do. God has called each of you for a purpose. We all are a part of the body, and we all work together for the glory of his kingdom. God may be calling you to something new, or he may have called you to what you're currently doing now, but nevertheless, God does call each of us to something. So, pray, read his word, work, and seek him. Thank you for supporting our work. Thank you for being a part of the body of Christ, for praying for us, and for reaching this city here in Nanaimo, as well as all the way across the world in the country of Madagascar. I want to end now by showing a video. It's on the 100th medical safari that MAF has been a part of. So to give you a little bit of a background to this video, we do about every month and a half, we do a medical safari where we take a team of doctors out to remote areas, and then people will come around from all different communities to see these doctors, and at the same time, we'll have a pastor or somebody on the team that can help minister to the spiritual needs of the people while they're waiting to see the doctor or if they have some other needs as well. So we have as well afterwards, if you'd like to come and talk to us, if you'd like to receive our newsletter, we can send it out by mail or email. We'd be happy to get your email address or your mailing address, and you can hear more about what we do regularly. We have some prayer cards at the back, some fridge magnets. We'd love for you to take one and stick it on your fridge and just remember to pray for us as we go about our work there. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us this morning. If you would like prayer following this service, please come to the front. There will be people from the prayer team here to meet with you and pray over you. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You're dismissed.